Just be encouraged, because we're adults. We know what's going on in life. And no matter how things are going in your life, there are times when things transpire or happen in your life. Sometimes things in your control, sometimes things out of your control that just burden you. They just sicken you. They just put a heavy load on you. They just cause the potential for discouragement to set in, potential for the attitude of, what's the use? I'm trying so hard, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and that's what I'm doing, what the Word of God says, and then I have this setback, I have this curveball thrown at me, and it's just so disheartening. And I'm sure for us older ones that are here, even some of the younger ones, you have had things at times that have happened in your life that was just like a setback for you. It's like, wow, that was discouraging. That wasn't very inspiring. That doesn't make me feel very good. That's a setback. Well, it can only be a setback if we let it become a setback, because there are times in life where things happen that we didn't know they were going to happen, and it was mind-boggling to us. It was like, wow, it was like an earthquake to us. It's like our world shook. Didn't know what we were going to do. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 30, and we're going to read verse 6, and it's the last part of that we want. David found himself in a situation like this. He was the new king of Israel, and it was going good for him. And they went, they had some victories, and then they did some things that they shouldn't have done. And then the Amalekites take Ziklag, and when they took Ziklag, this will go in the first 5 verses there, they come into that city, David and the men of war were out doing their thing, and when they come back, they saw a smoke in the sky, and they looked in the city where all their families were, where their wives were, where their children were. It was burning with fire, and when they got back to that city, there wasn't anything there. It said they took the women captive in verse 2, and they slew. They didn't kill any of them. They took them captive, the great and the small. They carried them away. They went on their way. And so when David and his men came there, they were heartsick. They were like, wow, this is unbelievable. Why did something like this have to happen? And then verse 4. I've never been in a situation quite like this, but you may know of someone that has been, or you yourself may have at one time in your life been in a situation like this. But David, he was their leader, and the people that were with him, in verse 4, they lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were wailing and weeping and crying, and it takes strength. If you really have a good cry going on and a weeping and a wailing going on, it takes strength from you. And these men did that until they didn't have any more power to weep. They couldn't even cry anymore. It was like they've come to the end of the line. There's no reason for us to live anymore. Everything that we ever had hope in our families, our children, our future, it's all gone from us now. We don't have any reason to even live for tomorrow. And then in verse 36, or verse 6 of chapter 30 of 1 Samuel, David, because of this, he was greatly distressed. And why was he greatly distressed? Because the people that were with him, they talked about stoning him. This happened to us because of you. It's your fault, David. And isn't that the way that we are in our lives? When something really evil befalls us, we want to blame somebody or something. It's never because of a misstep or a miscue that we took. It's always going to be somebody else's fault. And so they thought about it, and they thought, we're going to stone this David. Because, and why were the people going to do that? Because the soul of all the people was grieved. And if you looked at that grief, they were bitter because of what had happened to them. Every man, it says, for his sons and his daughters, they were bitter. How could a person not be bitter if you found yourself in a situation? You go to return to your home tonight, and it's gone. It's just up in a big plume of smoke, and there's nothing left there. But all of your family family that was in there, they're safe, but they've been taken away captive. It would be as though they were in a war of some type here, and that's what was going on here. And it was like they were just bitter about what happened. And there are times in our life where things happen that if we're not careful, we can become bitter, but we do not want to become bitter against God. We do not want to become bitter against God's men, amen, against God's anointed. We have that human tendency within us. We're just bitter. This is just very unjust. This is just very unfair that this happened to us. What did we do to deserve this? And so to solve that, they talked about stoning David. And because of that, David, he was greatly distressed. He thought, man, this is hurting me just like it's hurting you. Now you're going to blame it all on me and you're going to try to take my life from me. My wives were taken captive, and that's in verse 5. And that's another subject for another study at some time. But it says David's two wives were taken captive, and if he had any children at that time, they would have been taken captive too. He was suffering just like they were, but they were going to turn against him, and he was greatly distressed. You don't have to answer this out loud, but in your mind you can answer it. Have you ever found yourself not in a situation exactly like this, but in a situation where you had feelings like that? You were just so alone. Nobody could understand what you were going through. You were just so distressed about it. Amen. And Brother Kyle in his testimony tonight talked about it. And it didn't happen with these people here. How they took their stress out. They were distressed about it. And they thought, we're going to take David's life. We're going to stone him. But some people today become so distressed over things that happen in their life. They become so distressed that people think about and people do take their own lives because of things that have happened to them. Oh, there's bad news that people will get. And I'm old enough, and I remember there's been times in our area where there have been people that have got a diagnosis of an incurable disease, and they'll go out and they'll put a gun in their mouth and they'll pull the trigger and take their own life. Why do they do that? Because they're greatly distressed. They're greatly discouraged. They don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. And it's going to be a horrible road that I'm going to have to go down. And I don't want to go down this. So I want to take the situation into my own hands. And we need to be careful because we have a tendency to do that too. Amen. And when those uncomfortable things show up in our life. And so as David was facing this, he could have been that very one, the analogy that I'm given tonight. David could have thought, there's no hope for me. I'm just going to go out and fall on my own sword and take my own life. There was one of the other kings in the scripture that did that. I think it was King Saul that took or had his armor bearer, whatever he had with him, had him take his life. It was a suicide of sorts, we'll say. David could have turned to that. He could have thought, I'm going to die anyways, and I don't want to die a death of being stoned by these men. I'll just go out and fall on my own sword because there's no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Our city's completely destroyed. Our homes are all gone. We don't have anywhere to turn to now. But what did David do? And this is what we need to do whenever we're discouraged, whenever we're in distress, or whenever we're in despair. We need to turn to God for encouragement and strength. For at the end of verse 6, it said this: when all of this was going on, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We need to do that at times in our lives. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And it doesn't go into detail here, but I can use my imagination. And how did David encourage himself in the Lord his God? David may have thought about those times that God was there and worked in his lives. He may have thought about that time that he killed that giant Goliath. And he was no match for him. And how the Spirit of God came on him. And he was able to kill that giant. He may have thought about the time that he killed a lion and a bear when he was out watching the sheep in the wilderness. And that lion and that bear was mightier and stronger than he was. But he stood up against them, and he reminded himself probably of some of the times whenever Saul was chasing him and going to take his life and how God protected him. And he was thinking about the goodness of Jesus. Amen. That song that we sing, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah. Thank God for saving me. Listen, there comes a time in each of our lives where we need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We need to do that. You need to remember where God brought you from. You look at where you are today and you think, man, it's not going so good. I just had this curveball thrown at me. I just had this hard hit come at me. But thank God that you have the Lord to lean on. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord your God. Remind yourself of what God has done for you in the past. How he has been there in the sickness that you faced. How he brought healing to you. Amen. How he was there in his protection to watch over you. Amen. Because he never leaves us and forsakes us. And that doesn't mean that you don't have times where you feel alone. I believe David, if he ever felt alone, he felt alone in this situation and at this time. Amen. Because he wept and cried just like the rest of them in verse 4 until he didn't have any more power to weep. He was feeling it like they were feeling it. Then all of a sudden the blame was on him and it was because of him and they were going to take his life. But it says at the end of that, David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. Encourage yourself in the Lord your God. When the enemy comes and throws a fiery dart at you, amen, to try to get you down and try to get you discouraged, you need to encourage yourself in the Lord your God and think about the God that you're serving and what he has done for you. And you think, well, I can't think of much he's done for me, but think of all that he's done for others, the testimonies of others. Think about the God of the Old Testament. Think about the Jesus of the New Testament. Amen. And he's the same God that's alive today, working in our hearts and lives. And if he did it then, he can do it now. So we have choices that we have to make in life. When these hard things come against us, what are we going to do? The natural thing is to be discouraged, just to sit down. The natural thing is to fall on your own sword and just take me out of this misery because there's no hope. I'm going to die either way, so I might as well just help it along. We don't do that. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. The example that I gave, amen, there's people that do that. Perhaps you know of some. When they get that diagnosis of a health issue that's terminal and there's no hope for them according to medical science, and they decide they're going to take their own life. They're just going to end it all because they don't want to go through all that suffering. Even in those situations, those people can encourage themselves in the Lord their God. Amen. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. Amen. Thanking him for what he has done for us in the past. Maybe later on we'll sing it. I don't know if we will. I say that a lot of times when we go preaching and sharing here. But God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as he always has been. Yes. Yesterday, now, forever, he's always the same. There's no reason to doubt it. God can do it again. Amen. What he did for those three Hebrew children in that fiery furnace. If you were facing a situation like that, would you just have given up? Literally, they didn't fall on a sword, but in a way, they could have fell on a sword. Well, I guess this is our lot in life. It's the end, boys. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego having a conversation. I'm glad we were friends. It looks like the end is here. We'll see you on the other side. It's a shame that it had to end this way. There's no way out of this for us now. We're done. We're fried. We're history. We're toast. It's over. And that would have been like putting the sword through their own soul. But they, in a way, encouraged themselves in the Lord because they told the king, and they didn't know. And we don't know what the outcome in our life is going to be. But they said to the king, go ahead, throw us into that furnace. And our God is able to deliver us. But then they said, but if he doesn't deliver us, amen, we're still we're going to serve him. We need to have that kind of a determination in our heart. I know my God can deliver me. I know my God can heal me. I know my God can help me in this situation. But if he doesn't deliver me or help me in this situation, I am still going to serve him. I'm going to maintain my ways before him. As Job said, and his wife was there, more or less telling Job to go ahead and put a sword in his own body. She says, why don't you just curse God and die? There isn't any hope for you. But he had to encourage himself in God. And how did he do that? He had a determination. And he says, even if this sickness that has come on to me and all these bad things that come to me, even if I die in this, I am not going to curse God. I am going to serve God. Even if it's God that's killing me, I'm going to stay faithful to him. We need that kind of determination. Amen. When you feel discouraged, you need to call out to God for encouragement and strength. Amen. A scripture that we all know, and I could quote it, and you could probably quote it for me, in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. Amen. When we feel discouraged, we need to call out to God for encouragement and strength. Jeremiah 33:3 says this, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Amen. Inaccessible things he's going to show them. Things that you can't do on your own. You have to call unto me. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. So whatever situation you're facing, you have that tendency. You can choose to be discouraged. There's a song, I think, that's written about it. Doom, despair, and agony of heart. We can go down that road, or we can call unto God, and he says, I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. We have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And I'm not talking about mind over matter. Facts are facts. If things are bad, things are bad. If a diagnosis is given of an incurable disease, it's given. It doesn't change it just because I say, that's not so. I don't accept that. Well, you better accept it because medical says that's what it is. That's what it is. But then what am I going to do? I'm going to encourage myself in God. I'm going to call on to God. I will answer thee, it says, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And then we can go over to Psalms chapter 138, verse 3. Psalms 138, verse 3. And this tonight, what I'm sharing with you tonight, this is for encouragement. Amen. This is to encourage us. Psalms 138, 3. In the day when I cried, thou answerest me and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. But what did he have to do? And this was a psalm of David. He said, in the day when I cried, thou answerest me. You have to cry unto God in your hour of need. Yes, God sees all things. He knows all things. But we have to say, God, help me. Yeah. Lord, I need your help. David encouraged himself in the Lord. We don't know everything that he said, but he may have said, God, I need your help. If I ever needed your help, I need it now, God. I don't want to turn against you. I'm not appreciating the circumstances in my life, but I'm looking to you now. And David says, in the day when I cried, thou answered me. And that's a good thing that God answered him, but not only did he answer him, he said, and strengthenest me with strength in my soul. He felt a strength down within his soul that he could go through whatever it was that he was going to have to go through. God, if you don't deliver me out of this situation, you're going to be with me through this situation. You're going to give me the strength to get through this situation. He didn't deliver Daniel out of the lion's den in the sense that Daniel didn't have to go in, but God went into the lion's den with him. He didn't deliver the three Hebrew children. Yeah. They didn't have to go into the fiery furnace, but he went into that fiery furnace with them. And it's the same way in your life, in my life. I don't want to go through a fiery furnace. I don't want to go into a lion's den. But if I do, I need to call out to God and he will strengthen me. Amen. He went with those examples that I gave, and he will strengthen us today. Yes. And so we look at things and we wonder, well, how did I get into this situation? And you can look at that. I'm looking for a really hard book to find. Amen. You could turn over there too if you're going to take the time to do it. And it is, I'm looking here in the side. Here we go. It is Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. So when we get into these kind of kind of situations. When David got into that situation at Ziklag, he probably wondered, how did I get into this situation? How do I find myself here? David, when he faced Goliath, he could have thought, how did I find myself here? I'm not even a part of this war yet. Yet this situation, and here I am at this moment and at this time. When he faced that lion and bear, he thought, how did I get myself there? Daniel in the lion's den, he could have thought, how did I get myself into this situation? Job could have thought, how did I get myself in this situation? Job was a just man. He was a good man. They couldn't find anything evil and wrong about him. How did he get into that situation? How did the three Hebrew children get into the situation they got? Well, the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how you got where you are tonight and what you're facing or what you'll face in the future. God welcomes anyone who is looking for help. Amen. Anyone who is looking for help, God is there to welcome them. God is there to help them. God will encourage you, and God will help you in your time of need. Maybe you're not in a time of need tonight. Maybe you're not in any kind of distress tonight. But you can rest assured, when you are, God will help you. Amen. And it doesn't matter how you got there. Sometimes we spend too much time on trying to figure out, how did I get myself into this situation? And we just about die in that place. Like, and then we end up blaming ourselves. It's because of this or that. The fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter how you got there. God is looking for to help those. Amen. And God welcomes anyone looking for help. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. We can say that. We like that. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them that trust in him. I want to be known by God as someone that trusts in him. That should be your heart. Cry. God looks at you. He says your name, and he can say, that's my son and my daughter. I know that they trust in me. I know that they trust in me. And we need to do that. The Lord's good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's an anchor for our soul. He holds us there. The world will say, well, it's because you're weaklings and you need religion to hang on to make it through life. Well, I would rather hang on to God than hang on to a bottle, than to hang on to the things that this world has to offer, which is a false hope that they give, because the Word of God says, the Lord, he is good. Amen. It doesn't matter what's happening in my life tonight or in your life tonight. It doesn't change the fact that God is good. Amen. God's good. He's a good God. Amen. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. Amen. We can run onto him. We can find our help there. And I like the last part of this. And God, or it's he, God knoweth them that trust in him. Do you really trust in God? It's easy to say, I trust in God. Amen. On our currency, we have those famous words, in God we trust. Really? I mean, it sounds nice to say that, but God knows who really trusts in him. So repeating it, it doesn't matter how you got where you are, amen, with what's going on in your life, God will welcome anyone looking for help. God will encourage you.
Yes.
Circumstances might not change as fast as you want them to change. You can go back and read that story in 1 Samuel chapter 30 and go into 31, the next chapter, and see how it all happened. It all ironed out eventually. Amen. But God will encourage you. Amen. You encourage yourself in the Lord. God will encourage you. And God, guaranteed, take it to the bank. He will help you in your time of need. The enemy of our soul lies to us. You're in a time of need because of the way that you're living. You're not living like God really wants you to live. You know, we get this mentality, well, I sort of deserve that. Because I know myself, I haven't been faithful, I haven't been loyal to the Lord like I should have been. I had that one coming, and we just cower up and take it. We don't have to take those things from the enemy. Amen. And it doesn't change the fact that God will help those that call upon him. Psalms chapter 28 and verse 7. Psalms 28, 7. Psalms has a lot of scripture. Amen. A lot of the Psalms can really encourage you. And what we're going to look at here, the thought we're having with this verse right here, you have to fix your eyes on God. You have to fix your eyes on God. He is your strength and he is your shield. Let's read this verse, Psalms 28:7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song I will praise thee. With my song I will praise thee. When these uncomfortable circumstances and situations come against us, we have to fix our eyes on God, because he is our strength and he is our help. That's what it says. The Lord's my strength and he's my shield. My heart trusted in him. And it says, I am helped. And this was another psalm of David. I am helped because I trusted in thee. Amen. I trusted in thee. Therefore, when we can trust in God, amen, weeping might endure for a night, I believe the scripture says, but joy cometh in the morning. And joy came for David because he said here, therefore my heart greatly rejoiced, and with my song I will praise thee. Amen. I will sing of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me. My soul will cry out hallelujah. When you're in the battle, it's hard to sing the song. But when you come out in victory on the other side and you can look back, it's easy to have the songs of victory. But even in the battle, God wants us to trust in him. Yes. Amen. Does your heart trust in the Lord tonight? On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. What are you leaning on tonight? What do you look for help? Whenever those uncomfortable situations come against you in your life, who do you turn to? Where do I go to? Amen. I like that song. We could sing that one too. I go to the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that the builders rejected. Amen. We have to go to the rock of our salvation. Any help that we're really going to get, amen, it's going to be lasting and enduring. It's going to come from the Lord. Amen. You can look to friends. They can help you and encourage you and strengthen you a little bit, but they're limited. Amen. But God can do it. And God does such a good job that when God's done with you, you have a song in your heart. Amen. You have a testimony. You come to church with a testimony of victory of what God has done in your heart. Amen. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 16 and 17. Amen. It's something else that we have to do in this fight that we're in. Amen. We're in a fight on our way to heaven. We have to take up. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. And this is what we have to do. In those things that we face in life, we have to take up the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit. Now, there is the whole armor of God. We need to take it all. But we're going to look at two verses here. Verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the word of God. Amen. You take up that shield of faith, you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. You can do that. Amen. If you take up that shield of faith, God, I'm standing on the promises of God's word. I'm trusting in you, God. Amen. I'm trusting in you. The circumstance doesn't look good, but God, there's going to be a deliverance that comes out of this. My faith and my trust is in you. That's your shield of faith. To quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So you have to take the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. When Jesus was facing the devil after his 40 days of fasting in the wilderness, and the devil met him there, and he offered him different things because the flesh of Jesus was weak. Fast for 40 days and see how strong you feel. Your flesh is going to be pretty weak. And that's when the devil came to Jesus at one of his weakest times that he was having in his flesh. The devil does the same thing to us. He'll come to you in your weakest moment and he'll take a cheap shot at you. That's the kind of devil that he is. When you're up on a high, when you're in a camp meeting, when you're in a revival meeting, when you're in a church service, he's not going to take those shots at you. He's going to leave you alone there. But when you get down, that's why you got to stay up there spiritually. You got to stay in the Spirit. You got to learn to walk in the Spirit. If you get yourself down and feeling low, you start having a pity party for yourself, the devil will take a cheap shot at you. Amen. He will do that. But that's where we have to stand on the Word. What I was saying, when Jesus was facing the devil after his time of fasting, the devil would say something to him. But then God, Jesus, would come back. And what would he say
to him, and it's written
many times in that account. Jesus would say, "It is written."
And he was referring to the written words
that are in this book that we have, in this Bible that we have. That's how he fought against the devil. He didn't try to reason with the devil. Sometimes we try to reason with the devil. We try to reason with the sinner people. We try to rationalize things with them. You can't do it. When they're coming against you and the devil's coming against you, you say, "Devil, it is written. It says he said he would never leave me nor forsake you." Because that fiery dart you just shot at me, I feel all alone. I feel like nobody cares, nobody understands. But the word of God says he'll never leave me or forsake me. And the devil's there. Why don't you just end it all? Nobody cares about you. Nobody loves you. Amen. You know what the word of God says. And you come back against the devil with the word of God, and he has to back down. Amen. And you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. Psalms chapter, and we're going to be done just a little bit here. Psalms chapter 118, and we're going to look at verse 17. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord. And how do we encourage ourselves in the Lord? We're going to look at verse 17. You need to speak words of life into your situation. Your hopeless situation, it's doom, despair, it's agony of heart. It's a diagnosis of something terminal. It's a dead end. There's no hope. You're done. It's through. It's over. You might as well put a sword through yourself because you're never going to get out of this. You need to speak words of life into those situations. Psalms chapter 118 and the verse 7 says this, "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." They were speaking words of life into that situation. "The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me." We need to turn around and put the devil in his place. Have you ever heard anybody say, and it's not always a pleasant situation, usually never a pleasant situation, and they'll say, "I really put them in their place. I told them the way it was, and they walked away speechless." Well, that's what the devil tries to do to us. But we need to be the ones, through the word of God, that we put the devil in his place. We speak life into a situation. Job spoke life into his situation. And how did he speak life into his situation? That man was in bad shape. And how he spoke life into it, he says, even if I die with this thing, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to maintain my ways before him. I'm going to stay faithful to him. That was putting words of life into that situation. Psalms chapter 121. We're almost there. Psalms 121. After you get past that 119, it's a big one. In verses 7 and 8, "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil." Oh, really? "He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth, even forevermore." God's going to preserve. That means God's going to keep you. God's hand's going to be there. "Lord, you're going to keep me from all evil." So when evil comes knocking on your door, God, your word says you are going to keep me from all evil. You're my shield. You're my buckler. You're my high tower. See, you're speaking words. You're speaking words of encouragement into yourself. You're speaking words of life into the situation that you're facing. Instead of just cowering down, "I guess this is the end. Who knew that my life was going to end like this?" No, we resist that. Amen. "The Lord will preserve me." He's going to keep thee from evil. "He shall preserve thy soul." God is the keeper of my soul. I'm not the keeper of my own soul. Amen. God's the keeper of my soul. When my time comes to go, amen, according to God's will and plan, there is nothing anybody can do to stop that. But until that time, until that moment, I'm going to trust in the Lord. He's going to keep. He's going to preserve. He's going to keep you going out and you're coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I'm going to be guided by God. God is with me. He will never leave me. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. Just a few more scriptures here tonight. We'll be done. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 18. 18 says this, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That is the written word. That was for Timothy. That was a special situation. I don't have any right to take what Timothy said and apply it to myself. Oh, yes, you do. That's the written word of God. You can say that. The Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me. If somebody's conspiring evil against you, you can proclaim that. You can speak life into that situation. And you have a right to use this right here, as Timothy did. You can say, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. God is going to deliver me, and he will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. God, you're going to preserve me. They're meaning this for evil, but God's going to bring it out for good. There are people that will come against people in civil courts with lawsuits and threatening this and threatening that, and it looks like an evil thing, but this says the Lord's going to deliver you from every evil work. If it's an evil thing that somebody's coming against you on, God is your deliverer. And then you need to look to him. And not only will he deliver you from that evil work, he'll preserve your soul. Amen. Unto his heavenly kingdom. And we need, and we're going over to 1 Samuel. Well, we already read that one there. So we read Psalms 138:3. Let's go to Isaiah 54:10. And it doesn't end here, but I'm going to end with what I'm saying here. Amen. Isaiah chapter 54 in verse 10. We need to encourage ourselves in the Lord again and again and again and again and again. Every time the enemy throws a fiery dart into your life, throws a curveball at you, you need to again encourage yourself in the Lord. This encouraging yourself in the Lord isn't one time and it's good forever. Every time something comes against you, encourage yourself in God. Remember the God that you're serving and who he is. Isaiah 54:10, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness, speaking of God, shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. Amen. Though the mountains will depart, the hills are going to be removed, his kindness will not depart from you. Amen. His loving kindness, it's there. He loves you. He cares about you. Last scripture, Psalms chapter 52 and verse 8. Psalms chapter 52 and verse 8. Amen. You can turn over there like to, or write it down. Psalms 52:8 says this: but I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. If you're like a green olive tree in the house of God, that means you're flourishing. Do you ever look at some people and you think, man, they never have any trouble? Everything's just always so wonderful for them. There's nothing that ever comes against them. Don't kid yourself. They have things that come against them too, but they have learned to trust in the Lord their God. Yes, we're all different. We have different temperaments. We handle situations differently. There's a kind of people there that wear their feelings right on the end of their sleeve, and there's the kind of people that something could really be going on, a turmoil going on inside, and you look at them, and you can't even tell that something's going on. Yes, I realize that. Yes, I do realize that. But this verse says that we can be like a green olive tree in the house of God, unmovable, unshakable, always abounding in the work of God. A hard curveball thrown at you, you're still in church. You're still raising your hands and praising God. You're not just crumbling. And I'm not saying if you have to do some of these things that it's wrong. You're not having to go to the doctor and get another prescription drug to help you through this situation that you're in, because you just can't take it anymore. You're going to have a nervous breakdown. It's going to come to an end. We need to encourage ourselves in God. We need to be like that green olive tree in the house of God. And the psalmist here said, I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. God, I pray for your mercy upon me. When we get into some undesirable situations in our life, it's not wrong to pray that way. Say, God, have mercy upon my soul. God, I need your mercy now more than I ever needed it to get me out of the situation. And remember what I shared. It doesn't matter how you got into the situation that you are. God is there looking to help anybody that cries out to him, that says, help me, God. God's not going to say, you got yourself in there. Suffer for a while. Just stay in that furnace. Stay in that lion's den. I'll come in my time and take you out. There's some theologies out there that would teach things like that, but that's not true. When you call out to God, He is going to be there. He cares about you.
Yes,
when
yes.
your children, your grandchildren call out to you for help when they're in need, and you know by the tone of their voice, and they're saying, "Grandma or Mom or Dad, come quick, help me, I'm in trouble." You don't say, "Well, got yourself in trouble. I'll be there. I'll be there when I get there. Just suffer for a while, young one." We don't do that. How silly is it that we think that God sometimes does that with us? God doesn't do that with us. When we cry with desperation unto Him, He hears us. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Amen. And Sister Bonnie can come down to the music here. Let's sing that one. God can do it again and again and again. He's the same God today as He always has been. And it would be good for us. We're just a small group. Amen. We try to do things, and it's more noticeable when we're a small group. If we was in a large church and said, "Those, I want you to come down," there would be just a handful that would come down. But when we're so small, and I say come down, and only two come down, percentage-wise, that's probably as good as some of these big churches.